This is our officially our last day and the 21 days of fast and the stretch of 7 days of services. But tomorrow we will still meet because it's our regular time, and that time will be at the regular time of 7 o'clock. And it will be a time of refreshed new beginnings as we continue to pursue God and have him take a hold of us for his greater purposes. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. You may be seated in heavenly places in him. Today, the Lord wants me to share with you from the book of Daniel, the 9th and the 10th chapters. Daniel was a man that had been captured and removed from his home country, and a man that sought the face of God. When you read the book of Daniel, you'll see how faithful and committed he was to the things of God, not wanting the things of the world, the things of the king. He didn't want to eat the king's food, and he had his own regiment, and with him were three other young men that followed suit with him. It is these four that we hear about through the book of Daniel. They impacted their generation, because even though they were in a foreign land where they could embrace the teachings and the philosophies of that land, they surrendered themselves in total surrender and commitment to a living God, recognizing that God and God alone could make their lives different. And even though the challenges were great, and even though what they were eating seemed ordinary compared to the, you know, succulent and luscious stuff that the others were eating, the results they were getting was better than what these other people were eating. It tells me that when you're obedient to the callings of God, that the grace of God sufficient can bring you to a place of supernatural honor. And as Daniel and these young men continued, they had so many enemies, of course. They got the three, and they threw them in the fiery furnace, and God was there with them as a fourth man. They threw Daniel into the lion's den. God gave the lion's lockjaw. They could not chow down on him. But when he was removed from that same place where the enemy could not consume him, the enemies that got him put in there, they did not hit the ground until they were consumed. God will take you into a situation that should be dangerous and sustain you there. And you are sustained where others fail, because God is with you. And I want to say to you today in the name of Jesus Christ that our faith is a living faith. I want you to know that our faith is a faith that cannot be compromised when we lock in with it. As we trust God, God will be trustworthy towards us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, while he was there, he got promoted so many times, and he served with various kings. Every king came and left and was removed, and here is Daniel right at the top again, running the things in the city. Every regime, there he was. Every regime, there he was. It didn't matter where they were, you know, favorable people to everybody else, but to Daniel, they were always favorable because God was with him. And I declare this day in the name of Jesus Christ that the favor of God will abound and abide with every one of us, that no matter where we find ourselves, favor will promote us, favor will sustain us, favor will advance us, favor will elevate us, favor will cause us to expand and increase on every side. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, while Daniel was there, He remembered orders. Yesterday we talked about the power of orders, the benefit of considering orders. And so it was. The Bible says in chapter 9 that Daniel began to pray for his people being orders. He says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was the one that was king when Esther became queen. How God elevated Esther, nobody, and made her somebody during the reign of Ahasuerus. He says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth and ashes represents a time of repentance. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. We spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion. That's all we've got, confusion of face. To our kings and to our princes and to our fathers. Why? Because we have sinned against thee. He included himself in the orders. He said, we have sinned. We've done wrong. You are righteous. You are merciful. But God, the reason why we are in this mess is because of what we've done, what our fathers have done, what our kings and our princes have done. He says, because we have sinned against thee, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against them. God, even in this mess, I can see your grace. Look at me. I am rubbing shoulders with the top of the top of the land. And the only reason favor is on my life is because you are a God of mercies and forgiveness. I know this to be true of you. Though we have rebelled against you, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which is set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For on that the whole heaven hath not been done as had been done upon Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in a state of disaster, and the reason it is so is not because of you, God. It's because of us. We've not been listening. We've not obeyed. We've been rebellious. Goes on and says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Yet we did not. But what is he doing now? He's doing it for everybody. He's doing it for himself and others. Because he knew that if somebody doesn't bridge the gap, things are going to stay the same way. The 70 years are up. The time for them to be restored was up. And nothing was changing. Remember what I said to you, to us a few days ago, that God is a God of love and God knows everything. But in the knowing of God, because he has given us the ability to love him back and has not made us robots, there are many options in the pathway. Many. And God reads every one of them. And in one of his readings, he sees them repenting and returning to Jerusalem at the end of 70 years. But here he is, 70 years. And the crazy guys are not repenting. They are still under all of some other option. And here comes a man and says, God, I checked the books. I checked the account. I checked your word. Your word says 70 years. But Lord, we still stuck where we are. And I know it's not your fault. I know it's not your fault. Verse 14 says, therefore the Lord washed upon the evil, brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. Watch this statement, first statement of verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil. He watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. You say, why would God do such a thing? Because his love. He wants them in the fire so that they come to repentance one way or the other. Not because he wants to destroy them, because they're still flourishing in that land. They're still doing okay in that land. But that was not God's best for them. The best was for them to be back in their home country, in Jerusalem, in Judea. The best of God for them was for them to enjoy the beauty of God's presence in his temple. That was what God intended for them. And God was going to do this. It's going to happen with Ezra. It's going to happen with Nehemiah. This promise is going to be fulfilled. Verse 15 says, and now, O Lord, our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Point, God, I know that the reason we are still here is not because you are helpless. Because, God, you got us out of Egypt, and that was a big mess, and we were there for 400 plus years. 70 years, this is like nothing for you. This is the approach, child of God, that we must present when we come before God. The one of declaring what his word says, and the one of a posture of humility in recognizing that he is altogether right. But his mercy will trump his judgment. If somebody cries out to him, remember Cain Cain, God places a judgment on him. Cain says, God, this is too much. This is overkill on me. And God says, you're right. Anybody who tries to do what I just said they should do to you, I'm going to deal with them. Because God likes a response from us. You know, the problem of Eli is that Eli, as great as he was, when God pronounced a judgment on Eli and his household, Eli did not repent and say, God, be merciful. Eli said, well, just like God said, so let it be unto me. Really? That's what you want? Okay. I placed a judgment on you so you can declare, God, be merciful unto me. My cry today, and I hope it is your cry, is that we cry out to God and say, God, whatever it is that's happening, it's not your fault. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my soul. Have mercy, O God, on my body. Have mercy, O God, on my spirit. Have mercy and turn my financial situation around. Turn my marriage around. Turn my family around. God, have mercy. I don't know what I've done wrong. And maybe I've done everything wrong. Whatever it is, I know that this is happening only because. You see, the Bible says God watched the evil. You know why God watches the evil? It's not so that just so that their hands be on the fire, but to put a restraint on the enemy so that he does not go further than he should. You listening? God watches to see what that enemy is trying to do. And if he wants to go beyond the limitations that he has set, that will prove or make people to think that God is not a merciful God, God will step in there and say, you are not doing that. Too much. May God look at your situation and say, too much. And for every pain and suffering, I reward you with more glory. Hallelujah. 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 The God we serve is a merciful God. His loving kindness and his tender mercies will never fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. This is a prayer for others. God, those people left there in Jerusalem, they are in a big mess, and it's because of us. Because of us. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. For your sake, for your name's sake, let your glory shine again on that temple. Now he's gone beyond what is happening to him in the Chaldeans. He's praying for them over there in Jerusalem. God, glorify your name there. For your name's sake. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. This is the prayer of Daniel. And he's praying this prayer with great intensity. And you'll be amazed at the answer he got. He's praying for Jerusalem. He's praying for the people of Israel, Judea. And the Bible says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Even the man Gabriel, who's he talking about? He's talking about the angel. But the angel had revealed himself as a man to him. He understands he's an angel because he came swiftly. He flew swiftly and transfigured before him as a man. I don't know. But the reality is that sometimes God sends angels our way to help us. In difficult situations, he sends an angel to minister to us and help us through various crises that we may be facing. And so it was. He says, yeah, while I was speaking, this happened. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give this skill and understanding. Wait a minute. Give me skill and understanding. Give me wisdom and understanding. Yeah, exactly the things that we were praying about the other day. When God wants to solve problems in your life, he releases supernatural wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. When you're praying for something and believing God for something, God will bring information your way. Amen? And notice how it starts, and he informed me. He gave me what? Information. What is information? If you're in the military and they say, be information, they are telling you to line up properly. Are you with me? When information comes, it is to align things properly, to bring things that are in disorder and ordering them properly. And one of the first things that God does when he wants to answer your prayer is that he puts a desire inside of you to put everything under proper alignment. When there is a quest inside of you to begin to put things in order, know that God is ready to move you to another dimension. Are you listening? Because that's always necessary. You cannot receive new wine in old bottles. Something changes. Something changes to position you for the new information. My prayer today is this, that God will quicken that change in every one of us so that the dimensional change that must take place in our lives takes place efficiently without waste, because God hates waste. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And he says, to him that something that is seems to be totally unrelated. And this is the point I need to make here before I go on to chapter 10. When you're praying about something and God starts talking to you about something else, you know what that means? It means that the first thing that you were asking him about is already taken care of, and he's gone past that and is into another business. Amen? Have you ever prayed and you're asking God for something and he tells you something else? Totally different. And you say, What are you talking about? I'm asking you about this and you're telling me about that. Don't fret, celebrate. That means the first thing has already been taken care of. Let's go to next. So he's praying, and the prayer is answered. And what is God going to talk to him about now? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon the holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall will in troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. What? What is he talking about? He's already gone way off, and he's talking now about when Jesus is going to come. Master, I was talking to you about this problem over here, and God said, forget that. Let me talk to you about something else. There's a Messiah coming. This is a small problem. There's a Messiah coming. The Messiah is going to come. He's going to last so much time. He's going to die. And But this experience, the Bible doesn't tell us how long he prayed. It could be 21 days. It could be any amount of days. But we do know that something happened to Daniel. This is not like the first time he's fasted and prayed. He's fasted and prayed and was able to see the dream that the king dreamt and give the interpretation of the dream that the king dreamt. He was able to interpret the writings on the wall. This man is a man of great wisdom, because God says, I came to give to you skill and understanding. And so he tells him about what was going to happen in the days to come, and teachers of prophecy will spend a whole lot of time going through what these 70 weeks are and systematically and bring us to an understanding of what God is saying here. But time changes. And then he says in chapter 10, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. This is what the Persians, the Medes and the Persians did. And it was generally the same thing that happened to people in the age and time that they live, and still does happen today. They will take away your language from you and give you their language. And in the process of taking your language from you and giving you their language and giving you their names, they change the way you think. It's no different from what happened to our native brothers here in this land. They took their language from them, gave them a different language. Now, there are times when things happen and something that you may have might be inferior to what they give to you, and we can celebrate that. But there are times that things that you have are so important because they are part of your psyche. And that's why they did that to the Israelites. And that's why also Daniel refused to eat their food and embrace their culture, Because he knew if he did that, he is going to bow down to the idols that he set up. And he was not about to do that. And child of God, we must have a resolve, like never before, to follow the ways of God. Sometimes I'm concerned about what our children and our children's children are going to do. Because we're living in an age today where things are getting twisted. I was watching the news the other day while traveling in and from one of my trips, and this lady, I won't mention her name, I still remember the name, you know, gave birth to a daughter, and she says, I'm not going to raise her as a daughter. She's going to be gender free, transgender, whatever it is that she decides to be. That's the world we live in. Whatever she decides to be, that's what she will be, whether it's a he or a she. Living in that world, what will the children do when they don't have a sense of right and wrong? We're living in a world. Just a few years ago, if you kicked a pregnant woman in the tummy and the child died in the tummy, you were a murderer. But right now, as I'm talking to you, you can give birth to a child and decide after giving birth to the child whether you want the child to live or die. And it will not be murder. Those are laws in the land. You mean after the child is born, after 9 months, because as it's not a person. They have taken personhood out of the life of a child. The same people who believe in so-called morality believe you can kill a child, and that's not immoral. And because the church, Christians, do not hold on to the word of God, abortion is happening inside the church too. We just mouth off. We don't believe nothing. If divorces are happening in the world, it's happening in the church. Because we believe nothing. We stand for nothing. We don't pursue the heartbeat of God. Daniel was not that man. He stood for what he believed and stuck with the program. It meant being hauled into a fiery furnace. It meant being hurled into the lion's den. But it mattered not. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. If we die, we die. But we're not going to worship your idol. We're not doing that. That we know. We're not doing that. We will kill you. Go ahead. Make my day. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What do we believe? Do we believe anything? How many buttons need to be pushed before you start crying, I give my life to Allah and forget Jesus? How many threats do you have to have before you become Buddhist or Hindu or whatever else and deny God? Jesus did not die for them yet. But they knew how to believe and stand for something. And he knew how to pray and intercede and cry out to God for help. And he says, in the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. It's 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Do you remember Hiddekel? There's that river that came out from Eden. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ophaz. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like a color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of multitude. And I, Daniel, saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Reminds me of Paul in Acts chapter 9, when the Lord appeared before him as he sought to go destroy the people of God. God appeared to him, and the same kind of experience happened. He says, therefore, I was left alone, because everybody took off, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I come for thy words. Your words were heard, and I come for thy words. That's the reason the Lord instructed me to share this word with us today. On this, the 21st day, I believe that God is saying to us, I've heard you, I've dealt with the situation. Next. I've heard you, I've dealt with the situation. Next. Let's move on. Done deal. Hallelujah. It says, I came because of your words. But then he tells us something rather remarkable, which brings me to the second reason the Lord led me to this passage for us today. Reason being that God is saying, the delay is over. Let me say it again. The delay is over. Whatever caused the delay is out of the way. How do we know? Because this angel that we're going to find out is the angel Gabriel, who showed up himself as a man the first time, but this time allowed him to see a little bit of him. When he came as a man, there was no impact. When he revealed a little bit of who he was, he felt like nothing. People were running helter skelter everywhere. He's left alone with his face planted on the ground. And had to be raised back up. When God unlocks just a little bit of himself, we cannot stand. Just a little whiff of his presence causes us to shake. I remember last night, as we were singing the song about justice. I've forgotten the name of the song, but we're singing about the justice of God, and I was asking, God, let your justice come. The presence of God hit me, and I almost wiped out right here on the stage. I said, God, I'm about to preach, don't wipe me out. What is this? I'm just asking for justice to come. And justice was coming, and I'm about to fall off. I say, oh, God, have mercy on my soul. Just a little bit. The man is flat on his face. He is the beloved of God. He says, I came because of your words. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. The prince of the kingdom of Persia. He's not talking about a natural prince. He's talking about a spiritual entity that was controlling the natural. There's always a spiritual force controlling the natural. The natural prince was doing his thing, but he was a puppet of another spirit who was the real prince of Persia. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. This was a prince that was able to withstand an angel Gabriel. And you can imagine that when he was coming in the fullness of who he was. But the prince of Persia withstood him for 21 days. 21 days. His stock. He says, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to do what? Help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Michael came to help me. This day, may the help that we need to eradicate any form of delay in any aspect of our lives be sent, and may that problem be removed in Jesus' mighty name. We need help. He was praying. He was fasting. Help was sent. Information was sent. But that information was delayed for 21 days. And the help, the informant that was coming to him, had to receive help. It's like a tow truck coming to tow a vehicle, and the tow truck gets stuck and needs another tow truck to come get it out. Whatever it is that we need, God provides. Amen? There's always greater power that is greater than the powers of your enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And he begins to tell him about things that are going to happen in the end times. Because God was more interested in saying to him, this problem that you placed before me, that's already solved. Next. There is a next level that our eyes need to be open to, because this level is already taken care of. Amen? It's already taken care of. There's something more. You know, we want to build tabernacles. We want to build tents. We want to settle. And God is saying, I don't want you settling. There's more to do. Jesus, stay here in our town. Don't go anywhere. Jesus says, I've got other cities to go to. You're not the only one here. And I believe God will cause change to take place in varied areas of our lives in the days to come. Because he's already saying, this one, done. Next. 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 Whatever that next is, I don't know what it is for you, but God knows what it is. And my prayer this day is that the skills and the understanding that we need for the next be released to us in Jesus' mighty name. Because one thing I learned many years ago is that every promotion is a promotion to ignorance. Yeah. Every promotion is a promotion to ignorance. You're promoted into a place that you know nothing about. You have to learn about it. No matter how skilled you are, there's somebody there to train you for the new place. Somebody has to bring you to that place and introduce you to the new place. May God introduce you to your next place. In the mighty name of Jesus, whatever that next is, may God's hand rest upon you. May he guide you. May he show forth his glory in you and through you and grant you every skill necessary, all the understanding necessary, all the knowledge necessary, all the wisdom necessary, all the finances necessary to fulfill the destiny that he has ordained already. In the mighty name of Jesus, so let it be done. Hallelujah. Everyone, don't care who you are. I want to be president. You think you know until you get there and then you find out, I know nothing. I need advisors who will tell me what is happening here and tell me what is happening there. But I need the wisdom and the skills and the understanding to know what they are saying to me so I can apply that knowledge and produce a new result. So what did you say, Pastor? According to your faith, be it unto you. God can bring the same ingredients, and based on how you apply those ingredients, you can come up with a pound cake, you can come up with bread, you can come up with pizza dough or pizza, whatever it is you call it. Are you with me so far? Same ingredients. You can come up with buns in Nigeria or puff puff. You can come up with pierogies. Ingredients, it's right there. So it is that as God gives you the skills, the wisdom, and the understanding, that he brings you to a place where you begin to apply whatever he has put inside of you, and you begin to produce something. And whatever it is that you produce at the end, it's not necessarily going to be the same thing that the other person produces or the other person over here produces. You all have the same start, the same ingredients, and you're coming up with different things. You have the same board, blank board. The same colors, the same pencils, the same everything. And you say, draw or paint. And everybody paints whatever it is they are painting and drawing. It's based on the vision that they have. So the prayer we will pray today is this: God, help me to lock into your vision. There's a prayer I wanted to pray. Thank you, Father. I wanted to pray it this evening, but I had the restraint from praying it. But then I wanted to pray it. Then I didn't want to pray it. Then I want to pray it. And the Lord says, now. You see, in the year of Jubilee, every slave got freed. But there was room for an individual and his family to decide to continue to be a slave. Are you with me? You can decide to go, or you can decide to stay. Which brings me to this point. God gives you the wisdom. He gives you the understanding. He gives you the knowledge. Now you can do whatever it is you want to do. Or you can decide, God, I don't want to do whatever it is I want to do. I want to do what you want done. That's been enslaved back. I freed you. Go. No, you freed me to make a choice, and I'm choosing you. That's the decision that faces every single one of us. Esther, big white wardrobe, all kinds of stuff in here. Choose whatever it is that you want. Just like the other maidens, choose whatever it is you want. You want the mini skirt over there, or the gown over there? You want that maxi over there, that boo-boo over there, that pantsuit over there? What do you want? What do you want? Anything you want. And Esther says, I don't want any of that. I want what you, Hege, chooses for me. But you're free to choose whatever. No, I'm using my freedom to ask you to choose for me. And the Bible says that when that happened, the woman that had received favor from Hege, not only did she find favor in the sight of Hege, but the whole palace, everybody in the palace, she found favor in the eyes of everybody, because she decided that she knew nothing about this new room, this new place. I'm not just going to run crazy over here. I need wisdom. I need insight. I need understanding. I rather choose what you choose for me. Because whatever it is you choose, God will be not your good, not your acceptable, but your perfect will. Your perfect will is what I want. Will you pray that prayer with me today? Will you? Okay, rise with me. Hallelujah. I want you to, at this time, firstly, in continuing from where we stopped last night, not just pray for yourself, but pray for others. Been praying for others, praying for this church, this work, and for souls out there that are not in here, asking God, God, forgive us every sin, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and reveal yourself afresh in our lives. I don't want to be stuck in my old patterns and my old ways. I want the freshness of the new path that you've ordained for me to walk in, so I can walk in the blessing, not under a curse, not under a hindering spirit. God, I need you to help me now. Cry out to God. Hallelujah. Mandorobo shakata baba. Rikatalobo shekere. Resa. in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Let us now go a little bit further and talk to the Lord and say, God, every time Daniel prayed, you sent a messenger to affirm to him that you heard. And not only did you affirm that you heard, you pointed him to the next page, the next thing that was going to happen. God, please release your answer into my spirit and show me the next place, the next thing, the next act, the next doing, whatever it is. God, do that for me now. Pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Word of God says that when the angels came, the angel came, he gave to him skill and understanding, or wisdom and understanding, as he passed to him the knowledge that he needed. In that knowledge, Word of God tells us that he brought him an information. And I said to us a moment ago that information is the information that causes us to be properly aligned so that we have things in their proper order. When information comes, it realigns you. It puts you in proper formation. When information comes, it forces you to come into a format that causes you to act differently. Amen? And so we're going to ask God to release into us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that is necessary for us to be ready for the new place he's propelling us into. Amen? Pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this grace. In Jesus' mighty name. We're now going to pray, God, as you release us into this new place of freedom and decision making, if this is your prayer, then pray it this way. If it is not, pray whichever way you choose to, according to where your heart is. I know how I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, God, it is not my will that I want done, it is your will. I want your will to be fulfilled, and so I want to be aligned perfectly with your will in every area of my life. I want to be properly aligned to who and what you want done, because that's the only place that I can be certain I will have perfect security. Amen? So pray, God, I receive my freedom, but I turn my freedom back to you and say, God, I belong to you. all of my days. Everything about me belongs to you. Don't pray that prayer if that's not true. Because if you pray it that way, know this, that God will want to touch everything in your life. Amen? And you need to be willing to bend and follow him, or else you will break if you resist. That makes sense? So let me put it in a very, very practical sense to you. That means that God will come look at your pocketbook. He might ask for your finance. He can ask for your car. He can ask for your house. He can ask for anything. But what you can be certain of is this, that if God is asking for anything, he will owe you nothing. Amen? But you have to, by faith, be able to follow his direction, his guidance. That's it. All right? That makes sense? I just read you the fine print. So not the block letters. Okay, I like that. No, I read you the fine print. So now you really know that you know that you know. And when you pray this prayer, you are meaning business with God. Saying, God, all of me belongs to you. My family belongs to you. Amen? It's a good thing. Amen? That's what happened to me September 5th, 1976, when I was put on the offering plate for God. I don't know if all of my family knew what that meant, but it meant for my mother that since 1976, if we added all the hours together, if I exploded to the biggest amount of hours, that she's not had 24 hours with me. That's what it means. That's a sacrifice she made. That's the sacrifice my siblings make. Do you understand? Okay, that was the sacrifice. It belongs to God. Okay, get my mom to see me at such and such a church. I'm going to be at this church such and such a time. Finish ministering. I see her for 5-10 minutes. Give her some money. Give her a hug and say, I'll see you again next time. Bless you. Shh. Gone. That was it. Do I regret any of it? No. This, I belong to God. So God can come and say, I want my money. And emptied my bank account. And has emptied my bank account so many times since. But I'm not broke. When I have nothing, I still have the God who owns the universe. Amen? It's a different life. It's a different life. And grace, God's grace is sufficient. So pray this prayer if you can. But if you can't, it's okay. Don't pray it. Pray whatever else you want to pray. And God will hear you where you want him to hear you. Amen? Pray. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. That prayer we just prayed is a very important prayer because God will give you opportunities to make choices. I remember no less than 10 years ago, it must be more than that, I was here praying one day And the Lord spoke to me, because I was talking to him about certain things I was seeing in the ministry that I wasn't happy with, and I would like to see change. And he said, "Son," I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Anywhere you want to go, want to go anywhere, anywhere in the world you want to go. And I'm going to introduce you to all kinds of ministries. I want you to know that if you decide to leave Winnipeg and go anywhere in the world, I'm going to bless you there in extraordinary ways, in ways that you cannot imagine. I release you to go anywhere." And I stopped. And I said to the Lord, I said, "Great deal, but I'm not taking that." He says, "Why not?" I said, "Because what you said you want to do in Winnipeg has not been done yet, and I'm not going anywhere until I see it." And he said, "Okay then. Or else I would have been gone a long time ago." And ministries opened up to me. Wow. But that's staying true to the commitment. You will have options. Good, acceptable, perfect. So this prayer we're going to pray now is, "God, help me to choose the perfect will, your perfect will, every time." Will you do that? Pray that prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the grace to choose your in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Now let us pray. God, eradicate every hindrance, no matter how strong they are. Father, do what needs to be done to eradicate any hindrance to the information that I need to have that introduces me to the next dimensions that you have ordained for my life. Do you understand the prayer point? Okay. God, eradicate every hindrance. Just like the prince of Persia waylaid and delayed the answer, to eradicate every hindrance out of the way so I can receive the instruction necessary for the next dimension in my life. Make sense? You get it? Pray that prayer. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' mighty name. There's one more prayer that I need to revert to as we wrap up. It's right here in Daniel 10 and verse 13. He says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." And then he says, "And I remained there with the kings of Persia." He remained there with the kings of Persia. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, and I remained there with the what? Kings of Persia." Meaning that for every king that Persia had, there was a principality that was operating in that one. And then when another one came, there's another principality that operated with that one. And these principalities were all located in this heavenly realm. And so when the angel was coming through and they withstood him, he stayed there with the answer. They couldn't take the answer from him. He had the answer, but they held him there. He could not move. We're going to pray that every stronghold, that's what strongholds are, the kings of Persia, that's what it represents. Any stronghold that is holding back my help. Did you hear what I said? Any strongholds holding back my help and my helpers, let those strongholds be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. No matter how ancient they are, they must all be destroyed. They must all be moved out of the way so that my help comes to me. Because it's not that God has not sent help. It's not like God has not answered the prayer. It's that strongholds are holding them. And Jesus, our Lord, said, "Except you bind this strong man, you cannot spoil his house." In other words, you cannot get his goods. You cannot collect the things that you need to collect. You got to bind that strong man. So this last push that we're going to pray now is this: God, deal with all strongholds. Whether it's strongholds in my mind, or spiritual entities, whatever strongholds, whatever the strong man is, whatever these kings of Persia are, Lord of God, or kings of whatever, that are holding back my helper and my help and my information and my resources and the information that I need, God, in Jesus' name, deal with every single one of them. Amen? I don't care how old this problem is. Deal with it. Because you're dealing with problems that you are just new. you just Johnny just come. But what you are dealing with is ancient. Yeah? God, deal with all of these ancient strongholds. Whatever strongholds are in this building, whatever strongholds are in my house, whatever strongholds are in this city. Many years ago, we're still living on Jagduna Drive. You see that place called the Fox? You know the Fox? Okay. The Fox was a bunch of junky nonsense. Years ago, there was nothing there. You know how that place opened up? Because God spoke to us in Jagduna. And we went late in the night, around 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and walked into the Fox, that ground there, and began to declare the will of God. And arrested the stronghold, some old ancient woman that was sitting there. Got rid of it, and the Fox opened up. That's how that place opened up. So I'm saying today we're going to pray. Whatever stronghold We may pray this prayer for 5 seconds. It might be for 10 minutes. It might be for a minute. I don't know how long it's going to be. But I want you to fervently begin to declare whatever stronghold, no matter how ancient it is, and no matter how many they are, no matter what covenants were made, sacrifices were made to cause a delay of my help and my helpers, in the name of Jesus, God hammered them and crushed them, eradicate them. Do you hear? Because when you do it, you're praying it for others, but it's going to affect you. Amen? In a godly way, pray. Mean business. Mean business. Mean business. Mighty God of war, Lion of Judah, we bow down and worship you. Yahweh, Yahweh, come and do what only you can do. Yahweh, 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 come and do what only you can do. Praise the Lord. Father, we are thankful for your help as you've brought us through these 21 days of fasting. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing that you've made available. We thank you, Lord, for the new things that you have in store for us. For you said you will do a new thing. Lord, oh God, we embrace the new. And we continue past where we are now to the greater. You promised, oh God, that the works that you did shall we do also, and greater works. Because, God, there's no limit to your power, no limit to your vision, no limit to your authority, no limit to, God, that which you want to do. And so, Lord, oh God, today we come and we align ourselves with your Spirit, even that same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. We ask, oh God, that same Spirit will cause us to mortify every deed of the flesh, so, Lord, oh God, that we can live and walk in the fullness of life that you have ordained. You are the builder of the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail over. Build your church. Reveal yourself to your church. Empower your church. Establish your church. Lord, oh God, it seemed that on the day that you hung on the cross, that your church was not going to live, was not going to be established. For Lord, oh God, every disciple took off. It seemed that they were all gone, and there you were alone with a disciple that you loved. But just a few days later, the story changed. The story changed because you rose again from the dead. You spoke into them and you spoke into their spirit and you declared that they should receive the Holy Spirit. You instructed them to abide in that upper room until your power will come and witness with them. And Lord, oh God, in one swift moment, everything changed. From just one man standing at the cross, to a handful hiding in little huts and houses, to 120 in the upper room, in one moment, thousands came to salvation. A few days later, thousands more, until it was said of that church that the people that turned the world upside down are come hither too. Lord, oh God, that experience we need to experience. For then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But you said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Lord, oh God, we ask, oh God, that we be the people that you will use in the fullness of the baptism that will shake this world. Breathe upon us until we are baptized, not just filled, but fully baptized, not just speaking in tongues and prophesying, but Lord, doing the works of our Father. For our eyes behold you, Lord. Open our eyes to see what you're doing so we can do the same. We give you praise. Builder of the church, build your church. And let this latter house be greater than the former. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that in this place you now give peace and prosperity. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful to the Lord that we've been able to spend this time together. Tomorrow night is not a special service. It's a prayer, regular prayer service. But we'll be here. We'll continue in our prayer. And so the service will start at 7 instead of 6:30. Amen. And look forward to seeing you then. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Those of you who are listening online, let God speak to you on how you can give, how you can participate in your giving, and for the furtherance of this gospel of the kingdom of God. I encourage everyone to give their best gift to the Lord tonight, the best gift they have given to the Lord all week, or maybe even all year long. Just give your very best tonight as an expression of thanksgiving, because you're declaring this day, on this 21st day of our fast, which is the last day of January, that you are shifting to a new experience in God. Amen? They say February is the month of love, isn't it? Let us step into the love of God, the fullness of God's love. Move from January and move to the next month. Amen? It's a month that changes. Sometimes it's 28, and sometimes it's 29. And when it's 29, it's because it's time to leap. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.